For our scripture reading this morning, please turn with me to the Gospel according to John, John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Now, in the first part of this chapter, Jesus fed a multitude of 5,000 men, not including the women and children, by breaking the bread, after which he sent his disciples across the sea on a ship, and he joined them later. And we'll pick up the story at verse 22. Begin reading at John chapter 6 and verse 22. On the following day, when the people who were standing on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other boat there except the one which his disciples had entered, and that Jesus had not entered a boat with his disciples, but his disciples had gone away alone. However, other boats came from Tiberias, near the place where they ate bread after the Lord had given thanks. And when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they also got into boats and came to Capernaum seeking Jesus. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him." Then they said to him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." Therefore they said to him, "What sign will you perform then that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Then they said to him, "Lord, give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I say to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." The Jews then complained about him because he said, "I am the bread which came down from heaven." And they said, "Is not this Jesus the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus therefore answered and said to them, "Do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'And they shall all be taught by God.' Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? And then Jesus said to him, Most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead, he who eats this bread will live forever. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. This far as scripture reading for this morning. Dear congregation, it's been a few weeks now since we've been together. If you recall, we've been looking at the tabernacle, at the various aspects of the tabernacle, and we have begun to look inside the tabernacle itself, where we saw the various articles, the table of showbread, the candle stand, and the altar of incense. And with that table, we reflected on Christ being the very foundation of our communion and relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But that table also had the bread on it, representing that Christ is the very substance of our communion with the living God, the very life of his people. Christ is the bread of life, the spiritual bread for the spiritual life of our souls. And just like God provides our daily bread as he did for us this morning and he does every day, God is the one who supplies our spiritual bread, that bread of life. He gives us this access to that bread of life daily. He is the one who by his Spirit brings it to the hearts. And so as we hear of Jesus Christ coming into this world to dwell among us, to tabernacle among us, we hear also in our passage today why he came to do so, what he came to do when he was on this earth. And that is to give spiritual life, even spiritual life to those who are spiritually dead. And so our text for this morning is found in John 6 and verse 33. John 6 verse 33, where we read, For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. So our theme for this morning is the bread which comes down from heaven. And we'll see in the first place a need supplying bread, a bread that supplies a need. And secondly, a heaven-sent bread. And thirdly, a life-giving bread. So in the first place then, a need supplying bread. And we find here in this passage that first the Lord Jesus, he exposes even a false need or a temporal need that the Jews had. Here Jesus had been teaching by the Sea of Galilee. And in verses 5 and 6, he speaks to his disciples as he was testing them. And he asked them, how are we going to feed this multitude? These many people here, 5,000 men, plus the women and children. And so then with that miracle of him breaking the bread and giving it to the people, he showed that he was that great provider for people. For his people, not only the physical needs of supplying their bread, but he would show also for spiritual needs. And then that same night, the disciples first crossed the Sea of Galilee, and the Lord Jesus would later join them. In the middle of the night, he would walk on the waves and come to them on the ship when in the middle of the storm. But the crowd remained behind. The crowd didn't see the Lord Jesus leave. And they spent the night there on the edge of the sea. And in the morning, they began to look for the Lord Jesus. But he was not there. And so in verse 25, we read that when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? How did you get here? We never saw you enter any of the boats to cross the sea. And so they were wondering about this man, the Lord Jesus. They saw him breaking the bread. They noticed that somehow he had crossed the river or the sea without them noticing. But here Jesus looks right through their motives, to their very motives, and he says in verse 26b, he says, "You seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled." And so the Lord Jesus here is telling them, he says, "You're only looking for me because you want free food. You're looking for me because of what you can gain from it. It fills your belly, and that's what makes you happy for a moment." See, it was not even so much the fact that the Lord Jesus had multiplied the bread in that miracle and fed the multitude. But it was more the fact that the people ate from the bread, that they benefited from him being there. The Lord had provided for them a practical need for them. And already here, it should make us ask the question of why do we seek God? Is it more than just practical and temporal needs that we are looking for? Or is there also a deeper spiritual need and longing in our hearts for the living God? Because here Jesus, he does not answer their curiosity about how he arrived on the other side of the sea. But in verse 27, he says, "Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you." He is showing to them that they need a spiritual hunger. They need something more than just physical provisions. As he said in Matthew 5, verse 6, "Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness," who hunger and thirst after the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. A physical hunger can be satisfied with physical food to fill our bellies. A carnal appetite can be filled with temporary things to fill its desires and its lust. But Jesus tells them to work for that spiritual food in verse 27, which endures to everlasting life. Temporal food is only good as long as it lasts in our belly, but spiritual food endures to everlasting life. And so these people then ask, "What shall we do?" And in verse 28, they ask, "What kind of work then must we do?" How do we work the works of God, they ask in verse 28. But that's also the natural work of the work of a natural heart. When we begin to see our need, that we need salvation, that we need eternal life, then we begin to look for ways to work for that. You can think of the rich young ruler in Luke 10 who came up to Lord Jesus and asked, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And our natural hearts do not know how to work the works of God. 1 Corinthians 2 says that the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. And so our natural hearts, it knows how to feed our natural cravings. We know how to feed ourselves physically. We can work for that. We know how to feed our desires. We work for that. We work for our entertainment. And the sinful heart follows the sinful inclination in this world to try to fill all its desires. And we can even work for our religion. We do the things that we're supposed to do. We check off the boxes and we do all the right things, and then we think that we're on the right path. But how do we work the works of God? See, verse 29, Jesus says, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. And so he's saying this believing, this true trusting, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ is when we stop with all our own working, when we stop trying to improve ourselves, when we stop trying to increase our own righteousness to make ourselves presentable in the sight of God, when we give up all our own work, when we stop trying to earn our way into heaven and realize that the only thing that can present us in the sight of God is that perfect righteousness of Christ, to believe that that alone is what we need for eternal life. And these Jews here, how did they respond? Well, they reply and they said that they knew that a prophet would come. And in verse 14, they even confessed when they said, "This is truly the prophet who is to come into the world." They were starting to believe that this was likely the Messiah who was prophesied to come. And we also hear about the Lord Jesus often. We also can acknowledge that this is true. But do we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for our salvation? Or are we still looking for something a little bit more? Something, are we looking for a little bit more proof that He will save us, that He is sufficient for my eternal life? See, the Jews wanted proof before they would believe in Him. And they said, "What sign will you perform? What will you show us that we can see so that we can believe in you?" They say in verse 30. And so unbelief always wants proof before it will believe. Unbelief wants proof. They're not ready to trust in Christ for salvation. And so to say, if you are like that prophet Moses, can you do miracles like Moses? In verse 31, they said, "Our fathers ate manna in the desert. He gave them bread from heaven to eat." But here they did not realize that as they were speaking to the Lord Jesus Himself, they were looking at the greatest miracle that God had ever done on this world. God manifest in the flesh. God tabernacling with His people. He came down from heaven to dwell among His people. And often it can be that we are focused on the events of history. Here these Jews, they looked back and saw the miracle of the manna in the wilderness. But it seems they did not believe that this breaking of bread to feed the 5,000 men was a miracle, because the Lord Jesus had done it with bread that came from this world. Someone had made bread and He just broke it into many, many pieces. But they also failed to remember that the Israelites, after receiving the manna in the wilderness, had also murmured against God, even after receiving all those great benefits. And so in this world, every conversion, every salvation is a miracle from God. But do we also begin to see it as ordinary? It can be a danger in expecting God also to work in the exact ways that He has done in history, as He did with others. And so often we begin to overlook even the small things that may be happening today. Do not despise the day of small things, Scripture says. We must not limit God in how He is working among us today. God remains the same even though the circumstances and the situations change. And our need for this spiritual bread remains the same. But Jesus here, He also begins to dig a little deeper. And He says, Moses didn't give you that bread from heaven in verse 32. But Moses had interceded with the living God for a rebellious people, for a murmuring people. And God graciously sent them manna to supply their need in the wilderness. In Exodus 16, it shows how God led His covenant people further into the wilderness. And there they found themselves in a place with no food. Even a chapter before that, they had run out of water. And in a miraculous way, also God had provided water for them. And now again, they find themselves without food, and God here is testing them. Here they were facing a predicament. You can think of 2 or 3 million people in the desert with no food. This is an emergency. There's various emergencies in the world today. You can think of Haiti after the earthquake, after so many people being cut off from the transportation of the bridges out, and no food supply, no doctors, no medical aid, no buildings to shelter in. It's an emergency. But here there are 2 to 3 million people in a desert, no food. They are genuinely in need, and they would need food or they would die. And so Jesus says, Moses, in verse 32, Moses did not give you that bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. He said, it wasn't Moses, but it was my Father from heaven who gives you the true bread from heaven, and he is still giving it to you today, is what he's implying. And so Jesus shows that God gave the Israelites the manna in the wilderness because they had nothing to eat. They needed this manna in their wilderness or they would die, they would starve. They had nothing else, and yet the manna was still a natural food for the body. But this manna, it only represented that real spiritual bread from heaven that we all need today. The manna represented Christ as the bread of heaven, the bread of life for his people. For his people today who live in a spiritual desert, in a spiritual desert where there is no food. And that's why he tells them in verse 33, for the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And so the people receive a response in verse 34, and they say, Lord, give us this bread always. This sounds great. They wanted these benefits of the eternal bread. And naturally, so do we. We all know that we need eternal life. We desire to go to heaven instead of the torments of hell. It is natural to desire that which is good. And yet the question is, why are we seeking it? What is our need? We need daily bread, just like the Israelites. We look for food every day because we know it strengthens our bodies. And young people particularly realize this. But like the Israelites in the wilderness, this world is a wilderness where the spiritual food does not grow. Every person has an emptiness in them, that inner hunger for something that lasts, and a hunger that this world cannot fill. In our natural hearts, they work to fill this hunger with both the good and the bad things of this world. But it is God alone who can awaken us to that true spiritual hunger, to see our need for the living God. Because of ourselves, our eyes are blinded to even find God. But we need that hunger to know God. And if you think of the Israelites in the wilderness, that lack of food there made them think back to the land of Egypt, where they had plenty to eat. But it was a place that they could not go back because they were slaves in Egypt. And similarly, all God's people, once they have been delivered from the slavery of their sins, they can no longer go back to the former way of life. They can no longer go back to this life of slavery because nothing in this world can satisfy their soul anymore. But Israel could also not go forward. Israel could not go forward anymore into the wilderness without food because they would die of starvation. And the same is true for you and me. We cannot go any longer in this world. We cannot go forward without spiritual food because there's nothing in this world to deal with the guilt of our sin. There's nothing in this world to undo the sins that we have done. There's nothing in this world to cover us in that perfect righteousness that is required before God. And there's no other way to God and that this world has to offer. There's nothing in this world to satisfy the spiritual hunger of the soul, or even to strengthen the faith once it is received. And so here in the wilderness, God was teaching Israel to place their trust in Him alone. They were facing a state of emergency, and they needed His divine help to supply them in the wilderness. And we can see it's becoming increasingly obvious in this world that there is nothing that we can expect for our souls here below. There's nothing in this world where we can expect to find help for our souls. We need divine help, which we begin to see in our second point, as heaven sent bread. In verse 32, Jesus says, "But my Father gives you the true bread from heaven." God supplied the people in the wilderness with bread. And now He explains that He is the bread of God which comes down from heaven. And in verse 35, He says, "I am the bread of life." And in verse 38, He says, "I have come down from heaven." Jesus says, "I am the living bread, that if any man eats of it, they will live forever." And so Jesus was sent into this world. The Bible says not to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. The reason the manna was sent to the Israelites was not to condemn them, but to save them from death and starvation in the wilderness. And so Christ is the bread of heaven, ascends into this world to save His people from spiritual death, to save them from their sins, which separate them from the living God, and to give them eternal life. And you can ask, well, why did God do this? Why did God send the Lord Jesus Christ into this world? What moved the heart of God to come down from such glories in heaven to this sin-cursed earth and to dwell in a wilderness of death and hunger and sorrow and take upon Him human flesh so that He could feed a dying people? The love of God. The love of God. God looked down from heaven. Genesis 6:5 says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Romans 3:12, "God saw that there is none who does good. No, not one." Not one who loved God. Not one who loved and walked in love with his neighbor. Instead of love, there was hatred. Instead of truth, there was lies. Instead of peace, there was war. In Isaiah 59, he saw that there was no intercessor. There was no one to stand between a sinful people and a holy God. No one to mediate between them. No way back for sinners to go to God. God looked down at his own creation. Creatures who were made that He made in His own image, to bear the image of God and to commune with Him as He did with Adam in paradise. But a people who believed a lie and who have become conformed to the image of Satan, the father of lies. But God never forsook them. God has a people walking in the wilderness that have nothing to eat. A people who cannot survive there on their own, or they will die. But what is worse, there are people who may not live. Romans 3:19 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And Romans 6:23, that the wages of sin is death. And God cannot overlook sin, or else He would no longer be God. In the days of Noah, God came and He just destroyed the world with a flood because of the wickedness. In the days of Lot, He came and destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because of their wickedness. But now, God showed his love for us by sending his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And when we love something, it is usually because there is something lovable about the object. But Romans 5:8 says God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God has a people whom he determined to save, a people who were rebelling and murmuring against him, a people who despised a God who even gave them the bread in the wilderness, who gives them life, but it is God who loves his own. And if he doesn't supply that spiritual food for you and me in this wilderness, we all would die eternally. And so in this, the love of God was manifest, that he sent his only beloved Son into this world, sent from heaven, sent from the very bosom, the very heart of God, to a people in this world. And Jesus, he was sent then to do the will of the Father. And verse 38 says, Jesus said, I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. He was sent as that bread of God, to be that sacrificial bread to feed the dying souls. And the Jews knew what this meant. The sacrificial offerings in Leviticus 21 are referred to as the bread of God. They're sacrificed to God. All those sacrifices in the tabernacle were killed and offered to God for the sins of his people. And Jesus says, I am the bread of heaven, the bread of life. This one who would sacrifice himself to give his own life as a ransom for many. He says, I came not to do my own will. But as he said in Mark 10, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. And in 1 John 4, God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And so in verse 39 of this chapter, he continued and said, this is the will of the Father who has sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but it should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. Christ is sent to give life to the world. And not one of us can live without this heaven-sent bread. We need this bread of heaven in our hearts. Have you already tasted of this bread? Have you already tasted of this life-giving bread of heaven? That we see in our third place, the life-giving bread. And this life-giving bread, it's so much greater than the manna that the Lord sent in the wilderness. Because in our text in verse 33, again it says, for the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. See, the manna, it sustained the life of the people in the wilderness for those 40 years. Without it, it could not live, but it only sustained their life for those years. But Christ, he not only sustains life, the life of his people in this wilderness, but he first gives life, spiritual life. And that's because we're born dead in sins and trespasses, Ephesians 2 verse 1 says. We're spiritually dead because we cannot keep the moral law of God. We're spiritually dead because our carnal mind is at enmity with God, Romans 8 says. We're spiritually dead because by nature we await that final judgment of God to cast us off forever for eternal death. But Christ gives life to the world as he says, he that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. John 11. And Jesus, he gave his life a ransom, a sacrifice to pardon the sins of his people. And he reconciles them to God when he purged away their sins with his own blood. And he came to accomplish his Father's will, as he said, to do his Father's will, that when he, as he appeased the wrath of God against sin. And by so doing, now he opened that way through the wilderness to supply his people with that perfect righteousness whereby they can stand before a holy God. And it is in that righteousness that they are loved of God the Father, only because they are covered in the righteousness of Christ. And so he says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Have we realized that our own righteousness is not good enough in the sight of God? And have we learned to stop working our own works and do the work of God by giving up on our own, on trying to make ourselves presentable to God and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ? Because here is a bread that it gives life and it sustains life. It was manna that was supplied to the people of Israel until they entered the promised land. And we need this bread of heaven to be able to reach the heavenly Canaan. The Israelites needed it every day for those 40 years until they entered the land of promise. And without this food, we cannot move a day. And we will certainly never enter eternity of heaven. But this life-giving bread is available now. And he's giving this life to the world even now. In verse 33 it says, he is giving life to the world. And he's coming down through his word and through his spirit to feed hungry souls even today. Because this is a life-giving bread that feeds the world. The manna was there only to feed the Israelites in the wilderness, that one nation. But now there's enough bread to go over the whole world for every nation and language and tribe. And in many places it still needs to be delivered. It still needs to be brought in the baskets as the disciples brought the baskets to the multitude here. But this manna sustained Israel for those 40 years. But this heavenly manna, it sustains God's people from now and throughout all history, throughout all ages, until the last Christian is brought into glory. And within Israel also there was no specific age group that it was for. This manna was to feed the whole nation, from the youngest to the oldest. And there was no one too young to need food, no one too young in the Israelite camp that needed to eat of this manna. And there's no one too young here today, children, to need the bread of heaven. And Jesus calls each one of you as well today to believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the earlier we begin to eat of this bread, the more strength it'll provide for us during our life. But there's also no one too old for this bread. Even the elderly in the Israelite camp were to be fed of this. Even if there were among them those who were too old to go out and pick it themselves, the bread would be brought to them. And even today, there are elderly in the care homes who need this same food brought to them, this spiritual food coming to them. And even though there are those who are physically weak, this bread of life will give the strength that is needed to endure, to enter the promised land. And though there might be those who feel that you will perish in this wilderness, as the Israelites did, crying out to God because of their hunger, God sent them manna. And God will supply your need to feed your soul, to give you life. As he heard the cry of the Israelites, he hears your cry today. And he rains down bread from heaven for every soul. And there is no lack with this God, with this giver. He sends it to give life to the world. In verse 37, it says, no one who comes to God for this life will be sent away empty. It's like the manna was provided for all the Israelites. No one is prevented of eating it. No one is turned away from the Lord who comes to him. But his life-giving bread is also a life-sustaining bread. Bread is life-sustaining and life-giving because that's the nature of food. When we eat it, it gives health, it gives strength and nourishment to our body. And that's the promise of God, that the bread of life is now giving life to this world, spiritual life. Jesus said in verse 35, I am the bread of life, and he who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. All those who are coming to him shall never hunger. And all those eating of this bread of heaven shall never hunger. That is the promise of God, that they will be sustained through this wilderness here. And Christ, he came, he said not to do his own will. And in verse 39, he says, and this is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose none, nothing. And everyone who sees the Son in verse 40 and believes on him may have everlasting life. There was no Israelite who perished of hunger in the wilderness. And there is no one seeking bread from God of heaven today who will perish in hunger. But God will ensure to feed their souls. And if that is your question today, you can be certain that God will also hear the heart of those who seek him and to supply your every need. The will of the Father is that the Son will give life and that he will lose none. See, we live in a day and an age when there's so much emphasis placed on that we need to make a decision. So much emphasis that we need to produce faith or else God cannot save us. And some even say that God has done his part and now we need to do our part. But the only comfort for those people in the wilderness who know that they cannot grow any of their own food in the wilderness, who know that we cannot produce any spiritual food here in this wilderness, is that God is the one who divinely intervenes for his people. That it is God who supplies his bread from heaven. And so this is not written as a condition only depending on our faith, but it is a promise of God assuring us of his will, that in his love he is sending this bread of heaven into our desperate condition. That you stand in the wilderness even with empty hands, even if it is today. You know you cannot go back to your old way of life. You cannot go back into this world because it has nothing to offer us. This world cannot give us any spiritual life. We cannot go forward because there is no food to eat. But Jesus says all those coming to him will never hunger. And all those believing on him will never thirst. And all those coming to him will by no means be cast out. He doesn't turn away anyone who comes to him. And this is the way that God is working out this promise. This is the way that the Lord Jesus is doing his Father's will. And this is the way that we receive the nourishment for our souls. And when Scripture uses these words, coming and believing and seeing in verse 40 and eating in verse 51, just like the manna needed to be eaten by the people to receive this nourishment, this bread of heaven is a spiritual bread. It needs to be eaten in a spiritual sense. And all these words then refer to faith. It is by faith that we come, that we believe, that we eat. It's by faith that we receive the nourishment of this bread. This bread of life needs to be eaten spiritually. Just like if we stop eating food with our bodies, we grow weak and we starve. And so faith also must be ongoing. It's not a one-time act, but faith is not a work. It's not even a condition, but it's a means, the instrument by which the bread is received. And that scripture says it's a gift of God, not of works. And so there was nothing that those people could do to bring the food. In fact, the Israelites murmured in the wilderness against God. The manna was purely the gift of God to supply them in their desperate need. And the Lord Jesus Christ is purely the gift of God into this world, for he so loved this world. And it calls us by faith to receive him, to stop our working, to stop our improving ourselves by ourselves, but to seek him. And so the question is, do we see him today? Or do we see our need for such a Savior today? Do we see that the manna was a wonder of heaven that came down from heaven, but now, even more, Jesus Christ is a wonder of heaven, the bread of heaven which God sends to save sinners? But even here, Jesus, he adds one more thing in verse 36. He says, "But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe." He leaves a responsibility here with the people that unless they eat of this bread, they will have no life. That unless we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we cannot be saved. And so he says he still sends this bread down from heaven today. He is still sending the spiritual manna today. And so are you without food today? Or do you fear that you are still spiritually dead today? Because Jesus says in John 11, verse 25, "He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And any man who eats this bread shall live forever," he says in verse 51. And the rich young ruler said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" But Jesus says, "This bread is free. Come, buy and eat without money and without price." It is believe, giving up our own works and our own righteousness, and coming fully to the Lord Jesus Christ with empty hands, bringing nothing but our own sins. But maybe then you fear, "Well, I am too sinful for God to receive me." Well, Jesus said in verse 37, that "the one who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out." Are you afraid of being turned away? Are you afraid of being turned away by God when you come to him? He says he will in no wise cast out those who come to him. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. No matter how great your sins are today, he says, "Come," because he has come to call not the righteous, not those who are trying to work for their own salvation, but those who have given up. He come to call sinners to repentance. But do you fear your faith is so weak? Now we're called to believe. We're called to come. But Jesus said that the will of the Father was that he would lose none of them. It's not our faith that saves, but it's the bread of life that gives life and that saves. He who comes to Christ will never hunger. Oh, he supplies that need, that life. He even supplies the strengthening of that faith. Are you still burdened then with all your sin? He's a merciful and a gracious God, just, merciful and just to forgive us our sins when we confess our sins and to remove them as far as the east is from the west. Does your soul hunger and thirst after the righteousness of God in the spiritual desert? because he supplies bread from heaven for all those who would seek him today? Or do you fear the drawing near of death? Israel could eat this manna through all the years of the wilderness, and it was supplied to them the day, until the day that they crossed the river Jordan into the promised land, into the land flowing with milk and honey. And the Lord Jesus Christ today supplies his people with his heavenly bread to sustain them to the very moment when they cross the river Jordan, to be forever with the Lord in heaven, where they eat forever and ever out of from the land flowing with milk and honey, that spiritual paradise where the Lord supplies them forever. Verse 33 says, "For the bread of God is he which comes down from heaven and gives life unto the world." It says, if we eat of this bread, we shall never hunger. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Amen.